So in our last class, we started looking at lesson 6 in our last class. And this we started this out in chapter 11 of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 11. Now, if you remember in the previous class, we were in chapters 9 and 10 of 2 Kings. And that class, or the things we were reading there, were more about Jehu and what he did according to the word of the Lord. But we did see Ahaziah being mentioned in some of those verses and in those chapters because of some of the involvement that he had during that time, but it was mainly focusing or giving information on things concerning Israel. Now, we know that Jehu killed Jehoram in 841 B.C. And that's when he became the king. Jehu became king over Israel. But we also saw how Ahaziah was also killed that same day. And that's kind of where we're picking up in chapter 11. So in chapter 11, we're starting off in around 841 is when this is starting off about the kingdom of Judah. So now we're talking about the kingdom of Judah. And like we've seen in the past, you know, that's how some of these chapters go. We focus on maybe a specific king or kingdom. And then in the next chapter, it might pick back up and some things that kind of overlapping times. But it starts focusing maybe about the other kingdom. And that's kind of what we're seeing here in chapter 11. So let's read the first two verses of chapter 11. It says, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So they hid him from Athaliah, and he was not put to death. So we see Joash being hidden. So the first thing you see here in this chapter is what Athaliah does when she hears that her son is dead. And this first thing that she does is to destroy the royal offspring. And we made mention of this in the last class. But if you think about it, so Ahaziah, her son, if that's her son and she's killing off the royal offspring, who's the royal offspring? Okay, her grandson, she's killing these off, and or at least she thought she was. That was her purpose. That's her. She was attempting to do, but she didn't know about what was going on with Joash. And that's kind of where we left off in our last class. But I want to remind you too. We've talked about Athaliah in the past. Where she came from. remember her background. 2 Kings chapter 8 told us that she was the granddaughter of King Omri of Israel. And then when you looked in 2 Chronicles, the 21st chapter, it also tells us that she is the daughter of Ahab, which was the king of Israel, the worst king. So we see some of this, where she's coming from, and very possibly that could mean that her mother was Jezebel, and we know about her evils. So just some background to keep in mind about her. So in the story where we left off, we left off about Jehosheba. And one of the chronicles says Jehosheabith. So different way of saying her name. But she was married to Jehoiada. And what was he? What was he? Okay, he's a priest, high priest. So we see that in 2 Chronicles 22:11. We'll tell you that. And it shows that they raised Joash in the house of God. Now, how long did they hide Joash? 6 years? Okay. So he was hidden for 6 years, and it states that while he was hidden that Athaliah was reigning. So she reigned those 6 years. That's verse 3. Now verse 4 says that now in the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of hundreds of the Karaites and of the guard, and brought them to him in his house, in the house of the Lord. Then he made a covenant with them and put them under oath in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. He commanded them, saying, "This is the thing that you shall do. 1/3 of you." So he showed them that this is the king's son, and then he's going to tell them some things, is commanding them some things. "This is the thing that you shall do. 1/3 of you who come in on the Sabbath and keep watch over the king's house, 1/3 also shall be at the gate, sir, and 1/3 at the gate behind the guards, shall keep the watch over the house of the defense, or for defense." Now it says 2 parts of you, all who go out on the Sabbath, shall also keep watch over the house of the Lord for the king. Then you shall surround the king, each with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes within the ranks shall be put to death, and be with the king when he goes out and when he comes in. So this idea, they're going to protect the king, and whoever comes in the ranks, so whoever comes up close, they're going to take him out. So, you know, they're going to put them to death. So, dispersed into thirds. And this is basically the protection of the king. So this is to keep him safe at all times. And it even mentioned, like I just said, that if someone comes within the ranks, then they're to be put to death. And there's someone with him as he goes in and as he goes out. So that is for the protection of the king. Are there any questions or thoughts or anything before we go any further? Okay. All right. It says, but Jehoiada the priest. Oh. Wrong chapter. Got ahead of myself. So the captains of hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And each one of them took his men who were to come in on the Sabbath with those who were to go out on the Sabbath and came to Jehoiada the priest. The priest gave the captains of hundreds the spears and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. The guard stood each with his weapons in his hand from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, by the altar and by the house around the king. So basically he was heavily guarded. You know, so they are surrounding the king and make sure that he is safe. So now this next section that we're going to start looking at, it's talking about that when Joash becomes king. It says, then he brought the king's son out and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, long live the king. So during this time, now Athaliah, she starts seeing what's going on, what's taking place. It said that she heard the noise of the guard and of the people. So she came to the people in the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king was standing by the pillar according to the custom, with the captains and the trumpeters beside the king, and all the people of the land rejoicing and blew trumpets. So then her reaction is that she tore her clothes and cried, treason, treason. So Jehoiada sees her, and he commanded the captains of 100 who were appointed over the army and said to them, bring her out. Bring her out between the ranks. But he also stated, if anyone follows her, put them to death with the sword. And in that same verse, it also said, let her not be put to death in the house of the Lord. So they're going to take her and put anyone to death that follows behind her, that tries to intervene or anything. But he says, don't put her to death in the house of the Lord. So verse 17. Well, I skipped 16. So they seized her. And when she arrived at the horse's entrance of the king's house, she was put to death there. So they did put her to death, but it was not in the house of the Lord. So, Athaliah, now she's dead. So then we see that Jehoiada makes a covenant. It says, verse 17, then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they would be the Lord's people, also between the king and the people. All people of the land went to the house of Baal and tore it down. His altars and his images they broke in pieces thoroughly and killed Mattan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. He took the captains of hundreds and the Kerites and the guards and all the people of the land, and they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and came by way of the gate of the guards of the king's house, and he sat on the throne of the kings. So we see this covenant, and then we see what they do afterwards when they went to the house of the Baal, or house of Baal. And then they also killed the priest of Baal. I put a question on the lesson. It says, how old was Joash when he became king? 7. Okay. So he was 7 years old. yeah, it's young. So Joash is 7 years old. So you think about that when we looked back as far as, when he was being hidden by, I guess that'd be his aunt. When she hides him, so he's alive, he's hidden for 6 years. And now, after that 6 years, he becomes king at 7 years old. So we know that he was an infant, very, very little at that time, very young. So just an observation. And keep that in mind. So he becomes king. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it said that he was hidden for 6 years. Well, one of the reasons is because we see that what Queen Athaliah was doing. She's killing off all of these children of her son, the king. Because with them, they would be rightful heirs of the throne. So the first thing she does is she wipes that out. She's going to take over. But she has to get rid of all of them in order to do that. So then the king's sister takes Joash and hides him. And her husband, they raise him for the 6 years. But then after that 6 years, that's when we see here that, you know, it's time that they decided. And he tells these other people that, hey, here's the king. And then that's kind of where we're at from there. And then so then they kill her off. So a good question. Any other questions? Okay. All right. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had put Athaliah to death with the sword at the king's house. And Jehoash was 7 years old when he became king. So again, we see he's 7 years old when he becomes king. And once you jump into chapter 12, it tells us that in the seventh year of Jehu, Joash becomes king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah Beersheba. So if you're writing down in the chart, there's some good details for you to log down. Might be helpful to you. So Joash or Jehoash, we're going to see that he's going to start off a good king. But then he gets to a point where he becomes bad. And verse 2 kind of alludes to this. But before I read that, who was a big influence or a good, positive example for Joash? The priest, okay. So Jehoiada, so because him and his wife, they raised him. So he was a big influence on him and the way that he did things and, you know, the things that he taught him. But yes, ma'am.
So it's not like they were out in the house, you know, away from that board. And I found it interesting his mother didn't do this. The king's sister did this. You know,
right.
Where's his mother in all this? You know, but we're not.
Let's say,
this is the providence of God that he's been having.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It doesn't. At least as far as I've seen, it doesn't say anything about the mom, but that's a good question. Where is she? But yeah, the aunt does this. And like Miss Linda was saying, you know, where he was brought up, these things he saw, this influenced him. And we're going to see that it still influences him for a while, but then we'll see the changes and what caused these changes.
Right.
Yes, sir.
One thing struck me is that the queen was the daughter of Ahab.
Yes.
I don't know if Jezebel was her mother,
Yes, sir.
The opposite of that is earlier. Correct. But at the same time, it doesn't guarantee, you know, your parents do not guarantee, or those around you aren't guaranteed what you can be. It's going to be your choice ultimately. You see that later with your ties. You can see that with your ties. You can change. You may be influenced by it. It doesn't mean you're going to be this one. Set your character.
Right. Yes, sir. No, that's true. And it, because like what you were saying, the way that we raise our children, it's up to them, of course. We're all free moral agents, but it equips them. It gives them something that they can use, whether they choose to use it or not. That's them. But yeah, I'm with you as far as Jezebel. Because I don't know, at least as far as I've been able to tell, I don't think the scriptures say for sure. There's a very good possibility that that could have been Athaliah's mom, but nonetheless, like you said, still her influence would have been there. And, you know, that's one thing we're seeing over and over in all these different stories is this idea of influence. And yes, we have a choice, but that doesn't... Still, with the bad influence, that's not an excuse, but it does cause problem, you know. So we see that, and we see some of the evils that Queen Athaliah came from. Any other thought? Yes, sir.
Here's a passing point. To me, with Proverbs 22, it says, "Train up the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it." This chapter is a lesson that confirms the fact that the proverbs are general principles, to which there are exceptions. There's no indication of any problem with the training he had under Jehoiada and his wife.
Right.
But he departed from it.
Yes. Yes, sir. And again, when we see that, because Jehoiada and his wife seem to have been a good influence. But after, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves as far as some of the points I'm going to make, but you know, after some things change, then he allows other people to influence him. And, you know, if we have time, maybe we might say something about that because of what that allows us, or what we allow, as far as when it comes to others influencing us. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay, good comments. Good comments. So we see here that in the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash becomes king. He reigns 42 years in Jerusalem. And we saw his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Verse 2. And this kind of, to me, starts to, or this alludes to some things. It says, "And Jehoash did right in the sight of the Lord all his days." But it doesn't stop there. It says, "In which..." So it's going to explain some things. It's about in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So we see this influence of the priest. All the days that he instructed him, he did good. He did right, what it says, in the sight of the Lord. But we're going to see a change in the future. And... You know, remember what it's said in the past about this idea of doing right in the sight of the Lord. When it uses that statement, it's usually contrasting two things. So it's a contrast between serving God or serving something else, which is idolatry, we'll see. So let's keep that in mind as well. But in verse 3, it says that only the high places were not taken away. So we see this idea the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. But then Joash said to the priests, all the money of the sacred things which is brought into the house of the Lord, in current money, but the money of each man's assessment and all the money which any man's heart prompts him to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it for themselves, each from his acquaintance, and they shall repair the damages of the house wherever any damage is found. So we're seeing here what he's trying to accomplish as far as getting some things done on the house of the Lord. And in verse 6, it says, but it came about that in the 23rd year of King Joash, the priests had not repaired the damages of the house. And then King Joash called for Jehoiada the priest and for the other priests and said to them, why do you not repair the damages of the house? Now therefore, take no money from your acquaintance, but pay for the damages of the house. So basically, he's wanting them to do the repairs of the house of the Lord. And they hadn't done this. So you see him bringing this up. In verses 8 through 12, we won't read those just for sake of time. In verses 8 through 12, it talks about this chest. And they used this chest. They had a whole bore in it. And it also says that, you know, because they would place the money in that. And then they had so much money that it was put into bags and that it was distributed to those that were doing the labor. So the king and the priest gave it to those that did all the work. We see that in Second Chronicles. It also states that in chapter 24. So they're doing the work, and that's who they give these funds to. Then verse 13. Yes. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. I have to look that, because I haven't looked at the names or the meanings of the actual names. So that's interesting. I'll have to look at that. But as far as like what you were talking about, Joash or Jehoash and his grandparents, you know, the way it states it, I don't know what he knew about them, or if he even knew, because it just says that he was raised by Jehoiada and his wife, and that he was in the house of the God, their house of God. So I'm really not sure on what he knew about his background. But what we do see is what influences him is what's in front of him. Okay, those that he's around. And that's an important thing that when I said earlier, I wanted to make some points if we had time. But we need to keep that in mind as far as, because we keep using this term influence. And as Ari has been stated, you know, we are to influence our children. But what we need to keep in mind also is what we allow to influence us. Because when we go way back, we see where all of this started when the kingdom split. Was because of influence. And King Solomon, I mean, he allowed himself to be influenced by the very thing he was warned not to do. But, you know, the things that we allow to be around us, whether we say it's not going to affect us or not, we need to understand the influence. Now, it's up to us. We have decisions to make. We have choices. But to me, that should tell us a little bit about what we allow to be around us. And that was just one. That's just I'm squishing it real quick, that thought, because it's kind of we're low on time. But we need to think about that, because what do we do outside of here? You know, think about that. Who are the people? And I'm not asking for answers. Ask yourself this. This is just something self-examination. Who do we spend most of our time with? Is it someone that is going to be a good influence for us? And I get, you know, the things we might hear, but I want to influence this other person. And I get that part of it. But we've got to be careful. I'm not saying don't hang around people that aren't Christians. That's not my point. But my point is to be careful for those who are around us. And for that matter, a Christian can be a bad influence. Well, depends on how you use the term. But I think you know what I mean. So my point is just be careful. We have to be careful to the things we surround ourselves with. We see this. This is all throughout all of these things, this idea of influence and these bad influences that were there. And we think about Solomon. He's the wisest man. Yet, he didn't act very wise, did he? He made bad decisions. So it's something that we all can do. Craig, you have a comment?
Her name is God is prophecy.
Okay.
That's why those names are so interesting, because of what happened in that story and what else to follow.
No, that's fine. And who knows? I mean, if that's what her name means, and possibly, you know, that's could be kind of like what Linda was saying. You know, it could have been the providence that's, well, and we see that in there, but so yeah, good points, Craig. Any other thoughts or comments or anything? Yes, sir, Alex.
Yeah, one of the crazy things I've seen in the first and second Kings is people crazy power and position. And he thinks people crazy, needs to murder people. I mean, it's a bloody history we look at. Everybody's murdered, killed, people
Well, and we'll see some of the times it's even where the Lord has blessed them, but it's not His fault what some of the things do. It's the people. But we'll see in some of the in future classes this idea of pride, because the Lord has allowed them to win and conquer things, then they become boastful as if they did it, and then you run into problems. And then after that point, then it's God's like, well, no, I'm cutting you off. But you're right. Yeah, we see this idea of pride on both sides, you know, even those that were being blessed. But then when God sees that, he does something about it, though, at least in the one I'm referring to. So any other thoughts? Yes, sir. Does. Definitely does, Keith. And, you know, like what you were saying, and Craig as well, we see this term that's used throughout here also. It talks about, even though all these different things are going on, but he says, I'm going to leave a lamp of David. So there's still, we see this path that is available that's going through, even though, you know, there was opportunities, if you will, for others to have their house be the dynasty. But again, that goes through, God knows how they're going to handle these things, and He knows what they're going to do, and so He uses them, and these things come about. And then we're still going to see this path from the house or dynasty of David. So, good points. And any other thoughts or comments? Okay. So, in, I think we're verse 13. Okay, well, verse 13 just talks about some of the things of the house of the Lord, the silver cups, the snuffers, the bowls, trumpets, and all that. that this was not brought in the house of the Lord as far as when it came to these funds. For they gave that those who did the work, they used, point is, the funds that were given were used for those that did the work for the house of the Lord. And that's what you see going on here, that they get this, or pay for this, get this done. Now, in Kings, it doesn't really talk about Jehoiada's death. But we see more detail, or we see details in 2 Chronicles. So if you turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, Second Chronicles chapter 24 says, "Now, when Jehoiada reached a ripe old age, he died. He was 130 years old at his death." So that was a ripe old age. They buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done well in Israel and to God and his house. So we're about to get buzzed. We'll pick up there in our next class. I really do appreciate all the good comments this morning. So again, if you didn't see them, I do have lesson 7 out there. So please pick up one of those. Thank you.